chanting kirtan. So Prabhupada says that three things are important in this movement.
Right. Chanting,
huh?
Is it feasting, chanting, and dancing?
Chanting, dancing, and taking prasadam. Three important things. Chanting, dancing, and taking prasadam. So look at the chanting. Two categories. Japa and kirtan, I guess, you know. And then dancing. You dance, right? There you're dancing. Uh-oh, there it is. It's the governor. He's coming. The governor's coming. Yeah. So, in the Gravastika, not the Gravastika, but the Shar Goswami Astika, it says, Mahaprabho Kirtana Nurita Gita. And they're always engaged in chanting, Samsara Dhabanala, Mahaprabho Kirtana Nurita Gita, Baritra Magna. Okay, there also. Mahaprabhu Kirtana, Kirtan, Nrita, dancing Gita, songs. So bhajans and chanting mantra. Sankhya Purvaka, there you go, Sagaswami. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana, Nartana Paro. Always engaged in chanting the names and songs and Nartana, dancing in scheduled measure. Regular program, dance for some time, sing, sit and read, study, like that. You know. One time Lord Chaitanya went to the house of Srivas Thakur. And he was like the same age as Lord Chaitanya's father, pretty much. You know, he's an incarnation of? Wait, who's incarnation of? Srivas Thakur was incarnation of? You know?
Okay, hold on.
Yeah. Everybody hold on here.
Okay, hold on.
Hold on.
I don't have my stopwatch on me.
It's okay.
Narada Muni.
Yeah. This is Eric.
I knew it was the devotee, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
10 points.
It's like Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton here. This is dark. Yeah.
I almost said.
Yeah. So he's an incarnation of Narada Muni. No, it's like this. Yeah. This is Tom Moore, Jim Morrison or something. So Lord Chaitanya's youth was going around like a very arrogant, young man, scholar, and he would go around with his gang to all different schools, academies in Navadvip. It was a big area at that time, seat of learning. And so many big bhattacharyas there and famous professors with their schools and their commentaries and tikkas and things like that. So Lord Chaitanya was very young, I guess 14 years old or 15 like that, something, you know. And he would go around with his friends like that, with his gang, like the Cowherd Boys, same people probably. And they would go into a school and they would say, kind of stand in the doorway and they would say, the professor in the school calls himself Bhattacharya, but he doesn't even know the basic rules of grammar, things like that, or, Sandhi like that. So there would be a challenge and they would fight, and all his followers and, cheering and the Bhattacharya's things. That was kind of the standard at that time. People had this kind of competitive spirit like that, And so Lord Chaitanya would present a proposition and they would argue and defeat the person like that. Then he would take the opposite position and then defeat him in that position too, like that, And so even though he was defeating everybody like that, kind of mercilessly and arrogantly, then nobody felt unhappy about it, And sometimes when his students said, Nimai is coming, they would round the back door like that. Oh, professor is not here, So he's going everywhere like that. And manifesting himself, not on devotional scriptures, but simply logical scriptures, like who can be the best programmer like that, subroutines and library endless do loops and conditional if statements and all these kind of complicated things like that, very much like that, So then one time Srivas Thakur saw Lord Chaitanya, who's like a son, like it's that age. So I'm going parading around Navadvip with his followers like that. And he said, crest jewel of arrogance. crest jewel of arrogance. When will you become, so much about all the scriptures. All the scriptures. When will you become a devotee? Like that. And Lord Chaitanya blushed. And he said, well, Srivas, I'm having so much fun. Like that. Just give me a little more time like that. So I said, all right. He didn't understand exactly what he meant. But Lord Chaitanya then later on manifested himself and, his real mission, which was distributing the holy names. He's the Yuga avatar. So somebody has to come to establish this process of religion. So he comes. But he does it in the mood of Krishna, which is very rare. Different things like that. Prabhupada says Krishna comes in once in every something like 8,430,000,000,000 years. He comes once, you know. So it's kind of hard for us to figure. We're so fortunate. Yeah. But he came again. As Lord Chaitanya distributed the names and the mood of, you know, of the gopis. Very intimate, very intense. So anyway, Srivasa Thakur was one time, and after Lord Chaitanya manifests himself as the Yuga Avatar and was preaching the glories of the name and inspiring everybody to give up all this, you know, too much logical process, too much intellectual work, you know, and just chant Hare Krishna and be happy, take prasadam. So everybody was following this. And of course, Srivasa Thakur, right? So, you know, taking it out very seriously. And his brother is an incarnation of who? Srivasa Thakur had a brother, huh? He had a brother, and Narada Muni is almost always accompanied by another sage.
Oh, Parvati Muni.
Oh, faster there, yeah. Yeah, Parvati Muni. They went to the Hare like that. So his brother is an incarnation of Parvati Muni, like that. So they had a big house. You can imagine your house with, you know, with the courtyard and animals and grandma and grandpa and uncles and aunts and cousins and servants and, you know, like that and stuff. You know, so a big household. He was head of it, maintaining it all. So Lord Chaitanya hadn't seen Srivasa about town doing his brahminical activities for some time. So he went to his house and he said, "Srivasa, you know, you're not going out to make money doing pujas and funeral ceremonies and whatever you have to do like that, you know. And then what's going on, you know? How you maintain your family like that, you know?" And then Srivasa said, 1, 2, 3, you know. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Nimai," he said, "What do you mean 1, 2, 3?" He said, "I made this decision that I'm just going to engage full-time in hearing, chanting with my brother like that and discussing all these things and worshipping Srimurti and all these activities. Just be engaged all the time and just, you know, temple activities, like hearing, chanting, whatever, you know. And then, and if I have to fast because of that 1, 2, 3 times, I'll go tie a big pot around my neck and drown myself in the Ganges like that, you know." So Lord Chaitanya became a little angry. He became a little angry. He said, "What do you mean 1, 2, 3, you know? If anybody is fully engaged in hearing, chanting, worshiping the deity in my service like that, then if the goddess of fortune doesn't personally supply all of the necessities of life for him, even one time, then I personally will come and chastise her with a goddess with a stick," like that, you know, like that. So we can engage all the time just chanting Hare Krishna, you know, dancing, taking prasadam, and everything will work out. You know, amazingly, there's so many stories in Chaitanya Charitamrita about this, like that. You know, so hearing, chanting, full time process, and we're mentioning the dancing. Yeah, but there's a natural process of the five senses. The most subtle is sound, by hearing, space, and once that's engaged and purified, then automatically there's this prana, air, tactile, touch is next. You want to dance? It's just automatic, right? You can't stop yourself. You know? So hearing, and then dancing, and then visual forms start becoming clear. You can see things. When you got the sense of motion, perception, rhythm, then you can start to see things, you know, like that. Yeah? Before, you can't really see. So it's progressive like that. So the finest art is music. The next is dance. And then sculpture. Yeah, like that. There's successive fineness involving all these arts like that. So we have to do it, you know, for Krishna. I know one Brahmacharya Yajnavalkya Das, you know, ever happened to him. But he was in Boston, maybe like 1974 or 75, something like that, you know. And he said he was, you know, Mangal Arati, he was leading kirtan. He was thinking, "Wow, this is going really well, and I'm dancing so nicely, and I bet all the girls are watching me," you know. So he kind of like, out of the corner, I looked over, and all the ladies had their saris over their face like this, and kind of laughing. He looked around, the guys were kind of looking at him, and his dhoti had fallen off like that. so he ran out of the room like that, you know, was chastising Krishna for having done this, you know. But he was no longer proud, you know, in kirtans after that, you know, showing off in front of the women like that, you know. They're all, you know, laughing, you know. Yeah. So anyway, we think, "Oh, I'm playing the harmonium so nicely," you know, like that. You know, many stories like this, right? The guy with the big white beard, yeah, yeah. So anyway, dancing is Lord Chaitanya. We see his example was always dancing. You know, he was dancing out the meaning of the songs like that. You know, because you can probably say you can chant, you know, like a parrot, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, But the time of death, the parrot says, cat, 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 you know, like that. Yeah. So what is the meaning? You have to get absorbed in the meaning of the mantras, the meaning of the song, like that. And it comes naturally. If we're just a little relaxed and stuff and chanting and goodness, naturally begin to think about what does this mean, and our mind starts becoming involved. Nama, rupa, charitadi. We were coming into Mathura with the Brajbandho Parikrama, first time there, and coming into Kumatura, and some people were, you know, smoking cigarettes and looking at us, kind of, you know, with dissatisfied eyes, these guys chanting, and, you know, broken glass in front of their shop, stuff. And some people were just clapping, and, you know, so I was saying, wow, what is this? You know, we're here, kind of, I was leading the kirtan at that point, so a little bit like, what's the word, like intimidated by some of these people, like Brijbasis, Mathura Basis, were kind of like agitated and negative, you know. So, Nama Rupa, I focused on the name, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Well, Hare Krishna, Krishna, oh yeah, Nitai Chaitanya Chandra are here. They accompanied us in the whole trip like that. So form, Nama, it was very natural, Nama Rupa, chanting, and my mind was looking for more shelter, and then, oh, okay, they're here, the form of Krishna, like that, and they're here. And then Nama Rupa, yeah, Sangha, Leela, you know, all the associates and pastimes, this expanded. Yeah, we're just like the cowherd boys coming into Mathura, with Krishna and Balaram, Nitai Chaitanya Chandra, like that. And in the same way, some people are happy with seeing Krishna and Balaram, and some people are unhappy. You know? Who was unhappy with Krishna and Balaram? Kansa. That was later, though. When they first came in, they first met...
The washerman?
Yeah, washerman. He wasn't happy to see them, you know. And different people like that. Kubja.
But she was happy.
She was impressed. She said, ah, wow, you know. And then who were some people who were happy to see them? No. Later. This is when they first came in.
Florists.
Huh? Florists. Yeah, florists named Srimad Sudama. And who else? Huh?
All the women.
The ladies on the roof, they saw, oh, it's very nice, you know, Krishna and Balaram. I was told that they heard about Krishna and Balaram because all the girls in Vrindavan would grow flowers. And they would take them in big baskets and stuff to Mathura, to sell them to the Malawalis, make flower gardens. And when they're coming back and forth, like Kribadra's saying, what do ladies like to do? Talk about people. So they will tell all about Krishna and Balaram and their pastimes, and all the flower garden ladies would always be very interested in asking questions and stuff and bickering over the price of flowers and so on. So this way the news was coming, you know, said through this passageway. And so they all heard about them, and now they're coming finally. And maybe it's not true, they're actually quite ugly and or something, but actually, wow, they're just like they were supposed to be, and phew, you know. So many things like that when they came into Mathura. So I saw it happen. Nama, then Rupa, then Lila and Sangha, then I was, you know, getting into it, like, you know, chanting, like, with the cowherd boys, with Krishna and Balaram here, like that, don't mess with us, you know. And challenging people, are you on Kansa's side or Krishna and Balaram's side, you know, like that, you know. And so it was very natural, you know. You enter into the spiritual world. So, you know, I was dancing, but like, there was this mood, this meaning like that and stuff. You know, everybody's picking up on it. So Lord Chaitanya many times would dance out the meanings of different songs. Swarup Damodar Maharaj would quote one verse to enhance Lord Chaitanya's mood. And they would do kirtan, and in that mood, and Lord Chaitanya would go on dancing like this, you know, and so on, you know. So it's very natural, you know, dancing the sentiment, dancing out the meaning of the song like that. Yeah? Yeah, it's okay. So we said, yeah, now we're ready. So every evening we have this Gaur Artik, right? It's describing a historical event. You know what this pastime was? Bhaktivinoda Thakur was writing the psalm just describing something that happened 500 years ago. Yeah? You know the history? Yeah? Anybody know? It's called Mahaprakash, or the ecstasy of 72 hours. Like that? Watch it. Ghosts.
Heavy.
What is, you know what it is? No? There was an artik in the house of Shivas Thakur in his courtyard. And this one went on for 72 hours without stopping, like that. And who was the pujari?
Brahma.
Yeah, Brahma. Aroti Korena Brahma. And who was singing? Mukunda Vasu Ghosh Sanjaya? Yeah. Singing like that. Yeah. So it's describing this scene like that. And Lord Chaitanya is sitting on a park bench. No? Huh?
No.
And a throne of jewels.
Yeah.
Simhasana.
Yeah. What does Simhasana mean?
Lion.
Yeah. So you look at the Simhasana, the feet. The feet will have like lion's claws on them like that. So look at these thrones for the deities sometimes. You see like they have like lion's paws. So it's a Singha, lion, Singhasana. Ratna Singhasana. Okay, now we're going to go through and make a dance for this whole thing, right? Okay. Jaya Jaya Gora Chandra. What's that? I guess I got him here. Okay, Jaya Jaya. Jaya Jaya Gora Chandra. Okay. Arotika Shobha. No, a little different than beautiful.
Shining.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah, Shobha. Yeah. Okay, how do you show the Artik? Yeah, here's okay. We can do like this, right? Jayo Jayo Gora Chander Aroti Keshoba Janavi. Now don't say what it means, but show us. Janavi Tatavani Jagamana Loba Janavi. Janavi? Yeah. Tatavani. It's kind of hard, you know. Janavi is the river. Janavi. Tata means forest. And vani means forest, tap means bank. Janavi tata vani jagamana loba. Loba. Yeah, greedy. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Dakine. Oh, yes, dakin. If you're in a rickshaw in India, you can say dine tarf. Dakine. On the right hand side, dakine. Nitai chan. Bame. Gadadar. Nikate is both?
Nearby.
Nikate Advaita Srini Vasa Chatra Dara. What is Chatra?
Umbrella.
Oh, I missed it. Point back there. Yeah. Yeah. Dara, he's carrying. Govardhana Dari. Yeah. Nikate Advaita Srini Vasa Chatra Dara. Got the scene here? Right? Who's here?
Nityananda.
Who's there? Who's here?
Shiva.
Gadhar. And then, yeah. Shiva. So what's he doing?
Umbrella.
He's holding an umbrella. Yeah. Nakinina Chai Chan, Bami Goradar, Nikate Bhutta Srini Vasa Chatradar. Vasi Yache Gorachan, Ratna Singhasane. Yeah. See the jewels? Ratna. Yeah. He's seated. Vasiyache. Gorchand. Ratna. Singhasana. I'll guess like that. Yeah. Aroti korena Brahma. Yeah. Aroti korena Brahma. How do you do Brahma? Oh, yeah? I do like this. Yeah. Aroti korena Brahma Adideva Gane. So you can do it differently. You know, I've seen Dash avatars from Brahmanipur, from South India, from North India. It's very interesting seeing the differences how they present the 10 incarnations. Aroti korena Brahma Adideva Gane. I don't know, there's Narahari Adikori Chamara Dulai. Yeah, it's Chamara. Narahari is like that, you know. Yes. Big one, no? Heavy. Hari 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 Kori Chamara Dulai Sanjaya Mukunda Vasu Gosha Adi Gai Shankha Bhaje Ganta Bhaje Bhaje Karatao. I got a good one here. I got a Manipuri mudra here. Oh, there, yeah. See it? It's a conch shell, yeah. Grab your thumb like that. Okay, then cover it that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they stole it. Yeah. Shankha Bhaje Ganta Bhaje Bhaje Karata Madhurya Mirdanga Bhaje Paramarasala. What's next? Bahukoti Chandrajini. Are you going for that? No talking. We're all deaf here. Yeah. Bahukoti Chandrajini Bahukoti. Chandrajini Varana Ujvala Galadeshe Vanamala. Yeah? Galadeshe Vanamala. Kori Jhalama. What does Jhalama mean? Shining also? Kori Jhalama. Oh. Scintillating? Twinkling. Scintillating. Okay, we got it there. Shiva Sukha. Shiva Sukha Narada. Okay, give me a Shiva. Wait, what's that there? Oh, full one there. Okay. All right. Yeah. I like this. Okay. Sukha? Yeah. I like this. Sukha. And Narada. Yeah. Not like this. This is Jim Morrison. He's Morrison. The Doors. Yeah. Shiva Sukha Narada Prime Ghada Gada Bhakti Vino Deke Gorarar Sampada. Right, yeah. But we're talking about psychology. You know, the fingers and the tongue have a lot of innervation in the brain. So when you're engaging those chanting, it stimulates the brain, so your mind is like attracted by this, you know. But Dhyadharadas, he was a neurophysiologist. And when you add to that spatial orientation, perception of rhythm, tonality, and meaning, your whole brain, your whole cerebral cortex is going at the maximum amount of that. So chanting, singing and dancing with meaning, there's basically nothing you can do is going to engage your cerebral cortex more than that. Every single thing is going off at that point. You know? I remember when I first came to the temple, I was trying to play the kartals and dance at the same time. It was like, one, two, three, one, two, three. It was like, you know, it was a whole thing. You know? And actually, I could see my mind was totally engaged. I was after Sunday feast, I was in front of Radha Gokulananda in the temple in San Francisco, and there was a kirtan going, and I bought my kartals in the gift store, and I was trying to go, one, two, three, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know? And so at one point, I could suddenly see that my senses were fully engaged like that, and my mind was fully engaged with the senses. You know, then I could see that I wasn't the senses, and I wasn't the mind. I was back there. Really, it was very, very clear. You know, so at that point, then I could see also, well, who am I? I was in front of Radha Gokulananda, and I could see that you're God. It was like it's kind of just, you know, clear. And I, who am I? Well, I'm your servant. And how do I serve you? Well, I don't know, but just by kind of hanging out with these people, it's gradually becoming clear, you know. But at that point, I had this choice of accepting or not accepting this. So I accepted, yeah, I'm your servant, and I want to come back. So that's diksha, right? That's initiation. When you get in the mode of goodness, by the mercy of the spiritual master, no more ignorance, no more passion, and sometime, you know, so, you know, at one moment, then you can see what's going on. And at that point, you surrender to Krishna. At that point, Krishna says, okay, you know, take the rope, you know. So 16 rounds, four principles. You get in the mode of goodness, you make this vow, then way deep down in the operating system there, you include this boot up code, right? Doesn't matter what else happens, or anything else, any level like that, I got to chant my rounds of all the principles. You know, you just, why? It's so deep down that everything else is, you really put that instruction way deep down, you know, by its austerity. Yeah. So chanting and dancing is a very natural process like that. And even if you don't feel like it, you know, just do it, you know. Put your hands above your head, jump up and down, you know, and try not to smile. It's almost impossible. Then you start smiling. You know, the prana starts going up, you know, like that. You know. And then your intelligence will start to follow. You know, like, I guess we're happy. What are we happy about? You know? We were in Calcutta organizing the Science Congress, the second World Congress for the synthesis of science and religion. So Sudhamana Maharaj had bought they're building it, Manasi Manjil. They're building a building, like a four-story building of flats, you know. And he bought one of them as it was going up like that. And so then we went there to Calcutta, and it was right off VIP Road, which goes straight from Calcutta to the airport, and has the most hellish traffic on earth from about like 6:30 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. You know, it's like, I probably like, scream as loud as I could in your ear, probably it would approximate the intensity of the horns off the thing. It's just incredible. You know? So we were like there on the third story, And there was no elevator, but an open elevator shaft with like a little piece of string across it or something to keep you from falling into it. And, you know, and then it was the hottest summer in Calcutta in 30 years. You know, even street dogs were complaining about it like that. You know, so we had no, how to go, we had a pump sometimes. Electricity was construction allocation. It wasn't enough for the whole building. It was just like for construction. So we could run one fan in the whole place sometimes. And we had marble floors and no windows like that, you know. So then the summer was there. And I had my first time, first summer in India like that, you know. And I also had to go out and do preaching, but trying to organize this Congress and everything else. Everybody else had left. I was there. Maharaj left me with one person who was like a 98-year-old Manipuri sailor. He had literally, on his boat, gone to see the inauguration of Queen Elizabeth. Right? So he was really, it was kind of Popeye the Sailor Man. It was kind of really, it was really old, and it was very nice, but it was like, it was kind of surreal, you know, like that. He and I were there and stuff, you know, alone. And then when the monsoon would come, the water would just come right in. There's no windows. So the water would come right into the windows, and, you know. And so we would start taking the construction sand and building dikes on the floor to keep the sand from water from wind. It was like being on board the HMS Pinafore or something. He was going around, like, you know, tossing the water out. I was thinking, building these dikes and stuff. You know? You know, it was like something like in Fahrenheit, something like about 118 degrees and, you know, 97% humidity, like that. So that's 100%. 100% humidity means you wash your clothes and wring them out, and you come back 2 days later and this is wet, you know, like that, you know. Yeah. And different fungus, you know. Then they got the bathroom. I went to the bathroom, and because of the humidity, then they cut the doors and hung them. Okay, you know. But then because of the monsoon season, started expanding, you know. And of course, they had iron bars in the windows to keep thieves from coming in the fourth story. So I went to the bathroom one time and closed the door, and then I tried to open it, and the nail that was stuck in the door to open it with came out. Right. So here I was in this bathroom. The door was like wedged shut, you know. And there's iron bars in the windows. And you can yell for help, you know, but it isn't any good because outside there's this traffic and rah, you know. So I could have died in there, you know. One little girl actually died like that. She got locked in the bathroom at the end of the school, and if they didn't know where she was, they found her dehydrated body next year like that, you know. So I mean, I was thinking. so then, what am I going to do? You know, no tools, my nails didn't work, you know. So I got my fingernails underneath the door like that, and it's kind of pulling, it wouldn't come, and finally it popped open like that. And I'd never do that again, you know. Yeah. And Lok Sanyal, the harmonium guy, he was old professor, kind of like, he called himself a slow-moving molecule, you know, slow-moving atom. So one time he was kind of leaving us, he walked out the door and almost fell into the elevator, empty elevator shaft, you know. And I grabbed him and pulled him back, you know. And he said, "This is like going to Krishna without guru." I said, "Oh, you know, you can do it if you want to, but it's better to take, you know, the stairway, you know, so on." So anyway, I was strict about following the process of yoga, our yoga. So every morning I would get up and learn Srinadev. We've been through a lot together. I bought a little altar for nothing for him, a beautiful handmade altar and like that. He seemed to like it. But some kind of bugs were dropping sawdust on his head from inside the thing. You know? So anyway, I would get up in the morning just to force myself up. And I weighed about maybe about 30 pounds less than I do now. Like, it was just, I have skin and bones, you know, stuff. And even local people were amazed, you know. So we didn't have any money, of course, to organize this thing. So you had to take Calcutta buses, city bus in Calcutta. So now, with your left hand, hold your right wrist. Now squeeze as hard as you can. Okay. That's how much the compression there is by the people on a Calcutta city bus. Yeah, I'm not joking, right? Yeah. You pass like this, you know, and there, and then somebody in this, you know, it's 118 degrees, 97% humidity, you know, like that. And you only pay like 25 cents for a half hour bus ride, though, you know. Yeah. But you get what you pay for, you know. And then it's an incredible thing, you know. So then there's seats along the edge, right, you know. It's a whole thing, like if somebody's going to get up, but you got to like this, do like this to get the seat. Otherwise, everybody else will take the seat. Like, it's a whole technique you figure out. The guy's getting up, and as he's getting up, you got to kind of curl into the seat. You know? Yeah. But it's not at all like you know, nobody else begrudges you, because that's the technique, you know. And you're like this going along, and then suddenly you hear this like, oh, you know, the bus, you look over and there's some fat guy getting on the bus like that. And literally you can feel it in the back of the bus. You can feel the, in the back of the bus, you can feel the compression. You know? So I can go on forever like this. You know? Yeah. I was writing poetry, recording it, you know. And who was the guy? And the buses? The Calcutta traffic is like the most incredible thing on earth. I don't think there's any place else on earth like that, really. One these buses, full size buses. And one time these guys, bus drivers, are pushing so much to go ahead. I stuck my finger out the door, and the distance between the next bus and us was 3 fingers. That's the distance between the 2 buses. You know? So and standing up in the middle of this Calcutta sun in these white uniforms with no pollution control are these Calcutta traffic officers. And this one time our bus, the guy went over to the left-hand side, or the right-hand side? Went over onto the
right.
You know, he crossed over the wrong side of the road like that to get ahead. And then it caused, of course, this traffic confusion, you know. So this traffic officer was there, I don't know, you know, Rup Ram Mohan Singh, something, you know, and his glasses off, you know. And he stepped off this thing and started walking towards the bus driver. It was like, you know, Jocinda or something. It was incredible. It was like the earth was shaking as this guy was approaching the bus driver. And the bus driver was kind of melting into his seat like that. It was just like, you know, just a guy approaches him like that, you know. And I think he said something like, a guy translated for me, somebody said, like, you know, he said, which hand do we eat with? Which hand do we wash our bottom with? Like that. Said, the left hand. Like that. And he said, maybe 3 questions like that. And the last one was, which side of the road do we ride on? Like that. Said, the left hand. And why, you fool, are you riding on the right hand side of the road? You know, and the guy was just like, about to die, and he said, I'll never do it again, ever. And the guy walked back over and got on this platform and started like looking at people like that, and everyone's like terrified. And it all straightened out again, you know. So anyway, I was getting up in the morning, right, and chanting and dancing in front of Lerner Senior Dave. You know, dancing meant kind of keep him falling over. Like, it was like, and Lerner Shingadev looked awfully exhausted too, you know. But I saw that it really worked. You put your hands up and you're there and you're totally depressed about everything. The preaching is going very difficult. But because you're doing this, your mind is saying like, well, hey, it seems like we're happy here. Why are we happy? You know, then it starts generating positive thoughts. Well, we're going to meet some people. We're going to be successful. We're going to do this and that, you know. And our health is going to be okay and stuff, you know. So dancing is a very essential part. You forget that sometimes. You chant. We do the chanting, but we don't dance, you know. See, if you don't feel like it, do it. It's part of the yoga. It's part of the pranayama, like that. You know? Hopping up and down during Mangal Arati with your hands over your head. The whole lymph system gets purified like that. It's the best thing you can do for your health, probably, you know, like that. You don't have to buy a trampoline. You can have one, I guess, Mangal Arati. Yeah. One time, Ribat Nanda Swami, he was a basketball player, tall guy, in university. And he said he was at the Arctic in Los Angeles, you go to Arctic, and he was jumping up and down like his full enthusiasm. He looked over, and Prabhupada was jumping higher than he was. And Prabhupada's not very tall. Prabhupada's like, you know, Gopal's high like that, you know. And he said he was just amazed, and he looked over to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked over to him and smiled, you know. And he said he was just amazed, it was, you know. And they kept on going like that, you know. And after some time, Bhattananda said he was a young man, you know. He said he got tired. He started going from side to side like that. And Prabhupada was still just jumping in the air. Like that, right? Yeah. So you can acquire all mystical powers by this process. All the mystical powers you can acquire by a Sangha Yoga system, you can acquire by this process. It's chanting, dancing, and then with meaning, expression, you know. And then when you're tired, take Krishna Prasadam. Don't worry, it's ready. Prabhupada says that, right? Yeah, like that. So, where are the books? Okay, we have special books today. Chanting, dancing, and taking Krishna Prasadam. Okay, the Hare Krishna cookbook, vegetarian cooking, by Adiraj. This is a very good one, huh? It's a nice one. It's really artistic and very complete, the recipes. The original one Prabhupada did. Anybody have that original one?
Yes.
That's very sweet, huh? It's very simple like that, but it's actually, if you just learn that one, you're pretty good, you know. Yeah. And the higher taste, you know, which has a lot of philosophy and culture. It's a very good book distributing like that. It goes very well, has philosophy. And also they have the recipes back. They have Mexican recipe and this kind of stuff. And they're actually pretty good. I know whether Chandrika Radha in Lalachua. yeah, she just did. I was coming over one time, so she just followed the recipe for the Mexican dinner. And it all came out okay. It was actually quite nice, you know.
I think Mother Nicola helped write that one. Mother Nicola.
Nicola?
Yeah, Vaisheshi Kapoor's wife.
Nicola.
Nicola.
Yeah. Yeah. And vegetarian. Over 240 recipes from around the world by Korma. Of course, he's very famous, you know. He did a video series that went on to many, many cable stations in the United States. And very successfully. And at the end, they have a little advertisement for books. And they got so many call-in orders like that. So many books going out like that, you know. So, prasadam, beautiful recipes. You know? This is also korma, food from around the world. More great vegetarian cooking dishes by korma. These are available from your local gift store. I'd like to order these. Yeah, and it's all korma, huh? Quick vegetarian dishes, right? The Mother Jamuna, of course, has the super PhD cookbook, you know, which won best national cookbook category in vegetarian cooking that year. Then she has Jamuna's Kitchen, I think, next.
Table,
which is more like lighter cooking and stuff like that, you know. So all these things, it's all cooking for Krishna, you know. And of course, so many basic rules and regulations. Don't taste everything. No meat and fish, eggs, onion, garlic. And you're meditating on cooking for Krishna. And there'll be some feeling. Guru Das said one time, if you don't feel as much ecstasy offering the Krishna as you feel taking the prasadam, there's something wrong. You should actually feel very happy, you know. I told this story many times. My friend Bharata, he was in Santa Cruz. He had a dream. And in the dream, he was making a very, very nice avocado cheese and, you know, sprout sandwich with some spread like that and fresh organic whole wheat bread. And he put it on his altar in the dream to offer to Krishna. But then Krishna actually came like that, you know. And so he was thinking, oh my God, you know, now Krishna's going to eat my sandwich, you know. And Krishna knew what he was thinking, so Krishna was saying, oh, Bharata, what a nice sandwich. Look at all these things. And this is for me, you know. And he was thinking like that, you know. And then he woke up from the dream like that and stuff, you know. So it's a very subtle thing. Actually, you can really see your consciousness and how much you're attached to the good things in life, eating, you know, and how much you're actually wanting to sacrifice this for Krishna. But you can do it because there's actually a feeling afterwards. Krishna actually reciprocates. He's so kind, they're going to tie with their mercy. You cook for Krishna, you look at the deities, and they're actually happy or something like that. They're disturbed, you know. Oh, what is it? You taste later on. Oh, there's too much salt in there. That's the problem, yeah? So you can really, it's a powerful, powerful, powerful way to give up this egoism, right? That I am the enjoyer. Because this is everything, probably just three things, you know. You know, good food, nice relations with the opposite sex, how you can gratify your belly and genitals. That's the standard of, you know, for success for the materialist like that. Going to beautiful restaurants with fine ladies and, you know, nice entertainment, music and dancing, and, you know, $175 for dinner, you know. One time we were hosting all these Nobel laureates for our science congress, and Sudhamanas had, what's his name, Shamananda? He was a head cook for Kalachanji's restaurant in Dallas for a long time. They got all kinds of national awards for the restaurant there. So you had him come with another devotee, Ram Parashar, another one. He's an Indian devotee like that, you know. So they went and picked out their service, all the plates and stuff they wanted out of the different things available in China and tablecloths. It was a full, you know, elegant dinner at the restaurant in the cafeteria in the University of California. Nice place, too. And then the menu and everything else like that. And then when everybody was eating, they came out with these, you know, chef's hats on, the full uniform. And this Indian boy was kind of dark colors. He looked like Aunt Jemima, like that. You know? He'd walk around like that. Everybody was like, oh, the cooks and everything, met them and asked them and how they liked it and everything else, you know. So it was fantastic, you know, dining experience. Whether the Congress was a success or not didn't really matter, you know, at that point. The food was so good, you know, so powerful, you know. So it's a whole science, you know, combining different kinds of flavors, different kinds of foods. So I go on like this. Vidyananda Maharaj says, Prabhupada told him, just eat whatever you want to eat and you'll always be healthy. intelligent person. Just a little attention while you're eating. Like that little attention you can see. So the Prabhupada said, eat half as much as you feel to satisfy your hunger, and then fill that other half, one half water, one half air, and your digestion is very nice. And very shortly after eating, you feel satisfied. You feel plenty of energy. So many things, you know. The yogis eat half as much as you do. Take prasadam at regulated times, you know, some schedule. But you can take six times a day. Prabhupada had a schedule in Jhansi for his bhakti program where it's prasadam six times a day. But establish some schedule like that, you know. Then you begin to see what's good for your body. Prabhupada said that it should be a big variety and everybody should eat together. And everybody can get what they want to get, like that, you know. So many, you know, discussions about prasadam. And we shouldn't think, oh, I shouldn't be thinking about this, you know, sense gratification. No, it's very important. It's one of the three most important things in our whole culture. So you should be very careful that you're very satisfied with prasadam, that you're distributing prasadam nicely to other people, you know. One devotee showed Nandana, he asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, who's more advanced? Those people who steal Mahaprasadam and eat it themselves, or those who distribute it? And Prabhupada said, they are both very advanced. Yeah. So, all these activities and relationships. We used to, in a temple in San Francisco, beautiful, you know, offerings like that. And the brahmacharis, we were austere diets, we're trying to get Mahaprasadam by hook or crook. And so they built a locker in the basement covered with metal like that, with heavy wire and stuff like that, you know. And the brahmacharis discovered they could crawl under the building. It was a nasty, you know, bar-infested area for like about from here to there under the building, and come out in the basement like that. And then we kind of pull the thing back and reach inside and take out sweet rice stuff, and then crawl out again like that. So you come out and lock it. It was like, you know, some blood and sweet rice, you know, on there. These guys were crawling like, you know, 40 feet in their bellies to get this sweet rice. So yeah, so it's like not ordinary food, you know, something special like that. Yeah. And Prabhupada said in his mother's kitchen, all the pots were shining. You know, some spot from being cooking in the spot outside, some carbon. She said, go right back to the servants. They had to clean, so every pot was cleaning. And over and over and over again, Prabhupada would show that cooking means cleaning. You know, you have an unlimited number of pots, and you keep stacking up more pots in the sink, more and more with dirty cloths and everything. No. As you're cooking and releasing the pots, you then clean them like that, you know. He said many, many times, again and again, he showed that. He said, cooking means cleaning. And so finally, when it's time for the offering to go, it's just 1 minute, 2 minutes to finish off, and the whole kitchen is clean like that. So he said his mother's kitchen was like that. Everything's so clean, so fresh, so organized. And he said, when you eat prasadam, cooked and prepared in the kitchen like that, he said, immediately you feel refreshed and enlivened like that and so on, you know. So the consciousness goes into the cook. It goes into the kitchen. How's it go? That's another one. So two quotes from the one. Vishayira anakoila honya dustaman. What does that mean? You know? Vishayira anakoila honya dustaman. Lord Chaitanya said this.
Vishaya is poison.
No, worldly enjoyer. Yeah, Vishayira. Anna, koila, taking the food cooked by a materialist, hanya dustaman, the mind becomes wicked, like that, by eating food cooked by a materialist, like that, and so on. You don't know who's cooking that bread you're buying outside, those cookies. Well, no eggs, but see the bimbo bread factory, you know. On Monday morning, the guy comes in with a half-smoked cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and stomach hanging over his pants, and, you know, and hasn't washed his clothes for a couple days, and flips on the switch, right? So he's calling Agni. Agni goes through the steel, arrives there, and he carries the consciousness of that person into the bread. So you're eating that. When eating grains cooked outside, you're eating grains cooked by those people. And their consciousness, which could be good or bad. You know, so on. Another one is Jivara Lalashye Jayeti Utidaya Shishnodara Parayana Krishna Nahipaya. That person who runs everywhere trying to gratify his tongue, belly, and genitals, going here and there, everywhere, uncontrolled, can never obtain Krishna, like that, and so on. So very important, satisfying the tongue, the nice tasting prasadam, then automatically stomach and control, like that. And fast, process, always fasting on days like Ekadasi, Janmashtami, like that, fasting. So for us, in the West, in the beginning probably, okay, 16 rounds, and pretty much the beginning, the standard in the West for what kind of, you know, the beginning was to have a half day fast in Ekadasi. know, fast until noon, and then take a Kadasi prasadam. No grains or beans like that. But it was usually kind of like the Vrat and the feast, you know. And it was kind of probably established for Western people like that, you know, because our bodies and our nature. Bahudak, famous lumberjack type guy up in Vancouver. But he was used to getting up in the morning, eating, you know, bacon, eggs, ham, you know, pancakes, you know, waffles, syrup, butter, and then going out with his axe and whatever and chopping down wood and stuff like that, you know, big, gross Canadian body. So he joined as a bhakta, and it came time for Janmashtami, and he was supposed to fast. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, his body went into physical convulsions, like that, just like whole body, because it's, you know. My brother-in-law one time said, you know, I didn't eat meat one day, and I felt really sick. You know? So it's a fact. You're conditioned to it. You can't do it right away. And maybe you can't do it at all, you know, like that in this lifetime, because you've got a certain kind of body, is grew up a certain way, you know. So for Westerners and people in this mode, probably recommend it. Half-day fast and take prasadam like that. But the actual Indian standard, the Gaudiya Mass standard, was basic. And Tamal Krishnamurti was doing this. You have your noon meal, or your meal in the afternoon, on the day before Kadasi, Dashami. Then maybe taking liquids after that, you know. But then the next day, nirjal. No water, no food, nothing in, nothing out, right? So actually your body, you don't have to go and take care of your body in the toilet or don't shave. And you really start getting off the bodily concept, you know. And then you go the whole night, you stay awake the whole night by some other devotees, stimulating, hearing, chanting. And Tamal Krishnamurti was told he used to read one whole book, one of Prabhupada's books, like a whole book at night like that and stuff in a Kadasi. The next day he would break the fast in the morning, a little prasadam, take a little nap and go about his day like that, you know. That's why he was powerful personality. Yeah. He did this several years, and he started having some problems also, and the doctor said it was too tough. If you want to leave your body, okay, but it was, you know, some other for his body, he wasn't able to do it like that stuff, you know. So I've been trying to do Nirjala Kadasi. I fasted until noon for 1 year, okay. And then next year I'm going to do something like, what I'll do is I'll just take water or something like that, you know. Or, well, when your mind starts to go, well, you know, it's tough, you should take a little fruit too, and it's like, you know, what's that, you know. And, so if I finally discovered it was easier just to do nothing than to deal with my mind, it was like, do this and that. Well, no, nothing, you know. Well, maybe it was just that, you know, nothing, you know, stuff, you know. So I just tried it, and actually I was able to do it. And so, the last 8 Ekadasis, I was just doing that. It wasn't a stress. Prabhupada says, fasting is good, but if you can become weak, what is the use? You know, Narottam, Raghunath Das Goswami was taking a little buttermilk, but he was paying obeisances to 1,000 Vaishnavas, you know. So the thing is to discover the power of the soul. Yeah, you just go back, and at least you discover that giving up glucose metabolism, you discover the liver, you know, and you start being conscious of your liver, you know, and how it's producing energy, you know, and like that you start passing inwards, you know, and yet you can, you discover the more and more where the power is coming from ultimately like that. So it's Sankhya, and we do that, you know. So last time it was too hot, and I started also having convulsions at night, so I broke it and took some water and some food like that, you know. But this has been so far, I'm okay. You can tell I'm kind of, you know, by this time of night, you start getting a little strange, you know. You know, and my mind says, well, drink some water, you know. But I realize, no, just kind of, this part would be a little difficult. You just kind of push through. And then so it's been very good for me. But this is, I mean, 30 years, I've been a devotee, and finally I'm doing this, you know. Somebody else can do it quicker. And then finally, we were told the best way to break the fast is one half milk, one half water, you know, diluted milk, 50%. Cold with sugar, like that. Well, enough sugar, fair amount of sugar. And when you drink this, your body just like absorbs this, like, you know. And there's no stress for your stomach like that and stuff, you know. And then Prabhupada also recommend the next day just living on milk, like that, the day after Kadasi, you know. And also, there's a Bhishma Panchika of just fasting for 5 days, a Kadasi, Dwadasi, Tridasi, Chaturdasi, Purnima, especially at the end of a Kartik. You whole Kartik austerity, you finish off like this. And the parikrama, some people were just taking fruits for 5 days. Other people, some of the ladies, were just doing nothing but water for 5 days like that. But, you know, again, it's like born in that kind of family, that kind of body and stuff like that, so on, you know. But yeah, so Prabhupada says it's very good, you know, but he said very good, but service comes first. You can judge by your service how much you need to take, you know, like that. And even there's a story that Bhaktisiddhanta, his disciples were fasting on a Kadasi. They say it took grains, but I don't think it wasn't grains. They took food. They took potatoes or something like that. on the codicil, because their fast was nothing. But they had to go preaching, so he told them to take some food, you know, but not grains, I don't think. Lord Chaitanya told his mother, anybody who takes grains on a codicil becomes a murderer of his father, mother, and spiritual master, and if even promoted to Vaikuntha, he again falls down to the material world. Oh, okay. No. So many nice preparations on the codicil, you know, cheese. No, actually, one of the nicest days, actually, in some ways. You know, tapioca, and, you know, cheese, potatoes, you know, something like that. So any questions? Comments? By a cookbook here?
I was still a brahmachari, and one devotee, it was the day before the Kadashi.
Yeah.
And you know how the devotees tend to, tomorrow's Kadashi, better get my grains in tonight.
That
mood was there, and we were taking prasadam in that mood, and one devotee said to me, it was Vopi Day actually.
Oh, okay.
He said, I don't want to disturb your appetite, I don't want to disturb your prasadam, but there's a quote somewhere in Shastra that says, if you eat grains the night before Kadashi and it's still in your stomach on the day of Kadashi, that's considered breaking the Kadashi.
My God. Easy ideas. Easy, because the idea is you take your noon meal and after that you don't take anything. So theoretically, if your digestion is going normally, 18 hours later, it empties it out.
You're just telling me the fellow's still trying to eat my grains.
So you can think of questions. Oh, it's kind of ours. Tomorrow is Bhagavad Gita class over at the temple there, like that. Any cartels? 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 I get my own. It's nice, some nice Jamasmi flyers, no? I got my gong here. Oh, hey, here's my application for the prison. You're not going anymore, and it's too late. You know?
Well, I noticed that, but I'm just waiting for...
Okay. Yeah, I wish I asked you for your address. I was going to mail it to you, but I didn't know your address. The time of death, everything is disturbed. Your mind is disturbed, your senses are disturbed, and it's like a blazing fire. But somewhere on the other side of the fire, you hear this mantra being chanted, and it takes you out of the material world to the spiritual world. And you hear, Sari Ra Vijaja. But there's fire, Prabhu. Prabhu, we have to go, it's prasadam. So becoming so many ways Krishna's trying to catch us like that. So somewhere maybe we'll be able to get out of this world. Okay. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Srirupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunata Anditam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Prabhudetam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivisaka Anditanshta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhu Shiva Giridhari Gopinath Narayana Radha Bhakti Bihari Radha Bhakti Bihari Radhe Sarvang Bihari ki jai, Shivar Govind ki jai, Vavarandi Hari Bo. Thank you all. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna.